My name is John Davis. Today is Tuesday, the 16th of July, 2013, and I'm about to interview Mr. Mike Whitcomb. Mike, would you please introduce yourself and tell me when and where you were born?
I'm Mike Whitcomb, and I was born in Westbury-on-Severn in Gloucestershire on the 28th of February, 1942, and I attended the local village school there.
Mike, what year did you work at Fielding and Platt?
I started at Fielding and Platt in 1957, where for a year I was an office boy. I left to further my career in 1966 and returned to Fielding and Platt in 69 and was then made redundant in 1971. I again returned in 1997 and was made redundant when the factory closed at the end in 2000.
Okay. During that time then, Mike, what was your principal occupation?
Towards the end, I was an applications engineer in the electrical department. And on my second visit, I became site service engineer, coordinating all the servicing engineers around the country.
And that was that on the electrical side, Mike, or the mechanical side?
The site service was either electrical or mechanical.
Okay, can we go back to the beginning now? Can you tell me, please, what pointed you in the direction of an engineering career? Was it anything from school or whatever?
It was through a family friend. My mother worked with Betty Browning, John Browning's wife, and they were chatting about these things and arranged a Saturday morning visit to Fielding and Platt for me whilst I was still at school. And going around the factory, I found it so fascinating that I decided that this was the thing for me.
Wonderful. I think that applies to a lot of us. And did you apply to join the company as an apprentice or for what?
I left secondary school compulsorily at 15. That's when you finished in those days. And I joined Fielding and Platt in 1957 as an office boy in the drawing office for £1.17 and fourpence a week. The weekly bus ticket I was going travelling from Westbury-on-Severn then was 17 shillings and ninepence a week, so I didn't have a lot left over at the end of it with the small amount of tax I paid. I attended the Forestdean Mining and Technical College in Cinderford, so that meant travelling on from Gloucester to Cinderford three evenings a week to do engineering studies there.
Very busy time, not much time left for entertainment, I'm sure. Going to your interview, Mike, can you remember much about it? Who interviewed, for example?
Well, I was invited for an interview, which consisted initially of a written test, and it was followed by an interview with Jeff Morton, who was the personnel manager, Harold Shenton, his assistant, and Mr. Whittaker and Bert Ravenhill. I don't remember much of the content of the actual meeting, but it lasted about an hour and a half.
Okay, obviously you were accepted. How old were you when you started?
Well, I started at 15, because of that I was too young for an apprenticeship, so that's the reason I spent a year in the drawing office as an office boy. Once 16, I then became an apprentice in the craft school for 5 years.
You mentioned already travelling to work from Westbury-on-Severn. What route did the bus take, Mike? And can you recall any factories, shops, railways, for instance, along the way?
There were the old-fashioned shops still. There was the White House Garage at Minsterworth. The various pubs that were still open in those days, the Bird in Hand as it was, and the Apple Tree, the Red Lion at Westbury. But as far as businesses were concerned, there was not much on the route because the bus travelled the A38, I think it is, Minsterworth to Gloucester, and stopped in Westgate Street, which was the original Westgate Street with all the old shops and cobblers and fruit people and sort of meadows, fruit merchants and the barbers and all that in that area those days.
Can I just take you back to when the year you were an office boy, Mike? Whereabouts in the factory was that? And can you give us some idea the types of thing you had to do?
Well, the office boy, I was in the drawing office, which was started as being the old drawing office, where I had to run around to the print room and the photographers and generally all the various departments in the factory, collecting, filing and drawing and taking drawings and prints and tracings around. At one stage, they decided to develop the drawing office, and we all moved from there to the canteen. And myself with my boss, Stan Curtis, and one or two others were positioned on the stage where we could oversee everybody else working down in the bottom end of the canteen. Each day I had to collect filing and schedules from the planning office situated in the works and from various characters like Danny Wakefield, who worked in the planning office, Stan Wood, Norman Davenport and Roy Fletcher. Then from there it was to the jig and tool drawing office, which was upstairs above that, where Ron Crowther worked and one or two others whose names escape me at the moment. The stores and then the works manager, Bill Meadows, I had to go there. And I also did a bit of simple drawing and drawing washers and bits and pieces that were very incidental in the drawing office. So I had my own little drawing board.
Okay, you mentioned Stan Curtis just now as sort of being in charge of you. Mike, can you, do you remember much about Stan, what sort of character he was?
Well, Stan was quite a nice gentleman. He was very interesting, and he seemed to, I was his first person that he had to train, and he sort of took me under his wing and was always very, very helpful.
Right. Did you have to run any errands or anything for any of the draftsmen in the drawing office at any time?
Well, I had to run various errands all over the place for all sorts of people, but nothing specific springs to mind other than perhaps going and fetching somebody's keys from home or something like that. But other than that, nothing very much.
Okay. Well, at least I suppose being an office boy and going to all the various departments that you did go to, then it was a way you found about your way about the works. So what do you think about it when you went into the works for the first time? The sights, the smells, the noise, etc.?
Well, the sights and smells and the size of the equipment and machinery was what impressed me on my very first visit to see the factory. But further to that, it was when I would join the factory, it was nothing new because I'd been doing it for a year, except the hours were longer.
Yeah,
we were now 44 hours instead of 40, or 38 and a half, I think it had turned out to be.
Okay, so having done your year in the in the drawing office as an office boy then, Mike, you then started your apprenticeship. Would you better tell us a little bit about what you did during that time?
I spent 12 months, obviously, in the craft school. The usual thing which we all have to do and which everybody is very proud of is doing the 2-inch block from a 2.5-inch rough cut cube using a chisel, a file and a scraper. And of course it had to be blued on all faces, square and flat on a surface, used on a surface table. Wednesday afternoons, I remember well, they were spent down in the sports field playing either football or cricket. Rugby wasn't really the game in those days. We had to change in an old railway carriage, I seem to remember, and Later on, they built the clubhouse and we had a communal bath, which made life a little bit easier for us all. The April in 1959, when I was there, I did 27 days away at the Outward Bound School in Ullswater. They chose me as one of the first to go on this. It seemed to be quite successful because a few others went afterwards, albeit to a different one. Friday afternoons, of course, were another interesting time because that was spent cleaning and polishing and painting white lines in the training school. So it was a busy week.
Who was your instructor in the craft school, Mike? You did mention a few names just now. Was it Bert Ravenhill was the instructor?
Bert Ravenhill was the instructor. His assistant was Peter Walwyn, of the Walwyn chemist family. Those were the two basics that were there. I remember all the people that were there basically, but there's no other well-known person there, I don't think.
What about your fellow apprentices, Mike? Do you remember any of their names? Possibly just one or two, maybe.
I remember most of them. As they came, there was Peter Norridge, who I know quite well, and Peter Munday. Keith Gill was quite interesting. There were 13 of us in the end. It started off at 12, but one of them, a lad called Garth Cromwell, joined us because he was made redundant from Hawker Siddeley, which closed down on the, which is now the Gloucester Trading Estate, which was Gloucester Aircraft at the time. So he bumped our numbers up to 13. But there was Terry Little and some others I remember, Peter Simpson, Bob Holford, Ralph and Harold Morgan. They were twins. Keith Gill, I think, was a... He just came over from India. His uncle worked in the stores at the time. There was Terry Little. John Howell used to cycle from Stonehouse every day on a push bike. John Morgan, Ian Horton, and that just about covers them all, I think. Yeah.
Well, you had a very good memory, Mike, I'm sure, after all those years. Okay, you've mentioned the chiselling and scraping, etc., of the block. Could you sort of go on from there? First of all, tell me, which of the craft school was it, Mike? Was it the one on the ground floor or the one above the light machine shop?
The craft school was the one above the light machine shop on the top floor.
Okay, because over the years, I know we've been told there are two. Okay. Right, continue with your apprenticeship then, Mike. You've already mentioned you go to technical college. What subjects did you study there?
Well, I started off doing mechanical engineering subjects in the national certificate line, but having then moved to Gloucester College, they decided in their wisdom to start the new City and Guilds technicians courses. So I got transferred to that one and I did the technicians mechanical engineering courses. But unfortunately, halfway through my apprenticeship, I converted to the electrical department. So I didn't have any electrical qualifications when I finished my apprenticeship.
Okay, well then going back to the apprenticeship, you did a year in the craft school, and did you make any tools at all while you were in the craft school?
Many of the tools I made in the craft school I still use even today. I made squares, angle gauges, scrapers from old files, grippers, scribing blocks. So there were two versions we made there. One was a solid one and the other was an adjustable one. V-blocks, tap wrenches, spanners and clamps, and copper and brass mallets. So it was quite a comprehensive range for future use in the factory.
Wonderful.